Turn with me to our reading for this evening, which is from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul's letter to the Philippians. If you have a church Bible, that's on page 1180, but it'll also be on the screens. And turn to chapter 4, Philippians and chapter 4. And just before we want to read, I want to flag up as well that on Thursday night, our WFM, the Women for Mission group, are hosting an evening of 9 lessons and traditional carols by candlelight in the cafe lounge at 7:30. Now that I have a reading in front of me, I'm reminded because we're going to have some great readings that night and everyone is welcome to come along. So Philippians chapter 4, and we can read the whole chapter. It's not that long. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading of his own holy and divine word, trustworthy and reliable as it is. Can we turn to Philippians 4 if you have it, or flick open your smartphone and go to verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Have you ever found yourself watching an advert for some sort of drink of some kind, and you find yourself actually getting thirsty while watching the advert? It's like just before the film starts in the cinema. There's that advert before the last couple of trailers telling you that you still have time to go and get a drink and a popcorn. And they show clips of the drink going into the glass, and it just makes you want to go and get a drink. You didn't even realize you wanted it beforehand, but all of a sudden, it's all you want. A lot of the time, advertising is focused on making you want something, which means ultimately making us, in the moment, discontent, unsatisfied with our current situation. Adverts want us to be discontent for stuff we didn't even realize that we were discontent for. Because advertisers know the human capacity to be easily unsettled and to think that the next purchase, the next pleasure, the next experience will satisfy us. That takes us into our theme for today, for tonight, where real satisfaction and real contentment comes from. I want to spend a few moments looking at that secret to contentment. And I want to look at two ideas. One, the school of contentment. And two, the source of contentment. So, there we go. One, the school of contentment. Among teenagers, rates of depression and anxiety have increased, they say, by 70% in the last 25 years. In September, there was a study highlighted on the BBC that said one in four girls show signs of depression by age 14. Even with so much immediate access to entertainment and instant gratification, human hearts have always leaned towards being discontent. It's so easy. When you've posted a picture on Instagram, I know this feeling myself, and you see the likes scrolling down your phone screen, and you get this fleeting sense of value, and you just want more of it. Or maybe you don't see the likes coming. It doesn't quite hit double figures. Or you see other people's pictures on Instagram, and they're so perfect. They're so popular. And it's so easy to feel that discontentment, that dissatisfaction, that thirst, that hunger online. It's so easy, and it's rife. But it's wider than that. It's been joked about for years, the midlife crisis. We hit a certain age, and we can suddenly feel very dissatisfied. We feel like we're missing out. So some people make changes. The relatively harmless version of this is that we can go and buy a motorbike, or, like I've seen many times, new decking. Or you knock down a wall in the house and make two rooms into one. Something like that. But the serious version of this is that we leave our spouses. We leave our families to look for satisfaction somewhere else. So many people allow discontentment into their lives without realizing it, or without realizing the hold that it takes over us. Being alert to this is step one. I think we all know that it's very easy for comfort to become our number one priority, to be comfortable here while we live. There will always be something we feel we want or we feel we deserve. Because let's be honest, we want the good life now. If things are comfort, a good life, if they are our priority, then we so easily become unsettled. We become impatient. We become discontent with our lot in life. The danger Paul is addressing here is that it is so easy, it's too easy to be absorbed with the here and the now. See what he says in verse 10 to 12. Read with me. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. For I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be, what it is like to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul is mentioning here how thankful he is for the congregation here in Philippi. The Philippians were wanting to look after him. We see later on in this chapter, we read it, that they were the only church during one of his missionary journeys that actually supported him financially. The only one. But it didn't come straight away. We don't know why. Whether it was a lack of funds at the time, or whether it wasn't, they didn't quite have a reliable enough messenger to go and deliver the gift, or maybe some other reason. We don't know. But it didn't come straight away. That wasn't easy for Paul. At the time, when he's writing this, he was under arrest. And so often, he is found in the letters to be in a dungeon, a prison cell. He had no support, and things were very difficult. So notice this word. It's in verse 11. For I have learned to be content. Paul had to learn this. Being content as a Christian does not come naturally to us. Let's stop assuming that it is. It's not something that happens passively. We will be battling with our sinful nature that wants things now. We've trained ourselves, many of us, to instant gratification. We expect always to get what we want. If you're bored, you can go and watch 100 YouTube videos. You can play FIFA for hours on end. Go online shopping whenever you want. Place that bet. It's so easy. But Paul has lived more than us. He has suffered. And he has celebrated. He has gone hungry. And he's had plenty. He's learned, though, not to covet for things he doesn't have, not to yearn for things he doesn't have, not to be bitter when things are going badly, and not to be proud or complacent when things are going well. And because he's speaking so personally here, he's saying, I have learned. It begs the question to all of us, to me and you. Have you? Contentment doesn't come naturally. There's a school. We need to learn. As he gives his answer in the next verse to what he has learned, we see that learning is a discipline. It's a decision we make bit by bit. Paul learned it. So Slow down. Slow down. Read God's word. Soak in God's truth and soak in God's promises. Maybe put away your phone when you're listening to God in his word, or at least put it in airplane mode. Maybe make the time in your busy schedule, or perhaps stick to the discipline if the problem isn't busyness, but it's laziness. Learn to concentrate and to meditate on God's word. That's the food you and I need every single day. It doesn't come naturally. We need to learn and study. So now let's read Paul's answer. How can he be so content? Well, two. He has the source of contentment. In his book, Mere Christianity, that famous author, C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Narnia books, he wrote this: creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger. Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there is such a thing as water. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, then the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Adverts want us to be discontent for stuff that we didn't even realize we were discontent for, and to think that the next purchase, the next pleasure, the next experience will satisfy us. Well, my friends, nothing else will do apart from the real thing. And as Paul says, verse 13, I can do all this. I can get through all the hard times. And I can get through the good times through him who gives me strength. Actually, the word should be in, not through. Because he's pointing when he says, I can do all this through, in him. And the him there is the Lord. It's Jesus. In him who gives me strength. He's pointing to that personal union with Jesus that we see repeatedly through this letter, time and time again. Paul is saying that because of this living relationship, this union with the living, all-sufficient Savior, Jesus Christ, then he can have peace. That inner rest, that inner peace, whatever comes his way. Paul can be content because he has Jesus. Paul is not depressed or anxious about the present. Paul is saying, I'm content with the now. He's learned how to be content. He has become satisfied because knowing Jesus is life itself. In Philippians 3, verse 8, if you have it, you can see it. He says this: but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. My friends, I don't know your situation. I don't know your heart tonight. I don't know where you're trying to find contentment and satisfaction. I don't know where it naturally goes. But The key to being content in that lasting, real way in every situation is that Christ would be your treasure. It's basking in his love for us, even when you feel so unlovable, so unloved, so unlovely. It's basking in his constant, secure, everlasting love. It's trusting that he has died for you and for me, which takes away your guilt and your sin and your failures. And we're going to fail again and again and again. But trust that he has died for you. It's knowing his rising again for us, that you are a new person. You're not who you used to be. And you can change. You're free from your past. You can change because he lives in you now. And it's depending on him continually, every single day. It's learning that discipline to soak in more about who he is and about who we are, and learning how to live in step with our love, Jesus, in obedience to our King, Jesus. The Lord Jesus is who you need. He is the source of contentment. If you have a desire in you tonight that nothing in this life is satisfying, you belong to another world. It can't be filled by the things of this world. It can only be filled. It only makes sense in the Creator, the one who made you, the one who knows you, the one who loves. He is the source of that peace. Whatever comes Paul's way, he was whipped, he was tortured, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was thrown in jail. Some of us might know some of those things. Some of us will know hard sufferings in our life. But model Paul. See how he says in verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Whatever comes Paul's way, he has the strength to meet it through and in Jesus, because it's Jesus' strength, not Paul's own strength. But it's not just unique to Paul. Look at what he says later in verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. His supply, Jesus' supply of strength and power, is not limited to your need, but it's according to his riches. If you have Christ tonight, if you are in Jesus, then we have to learn, because it doesn't come easily or naturally. We have to learn. And no matter your situation, you have all you need to be content. We need to learn how to trust in Jesus in the hard times and in the good times too. Think of Romans 8, for example. It's a chapter worth reading again tonight to see where we would get contentment and peace and satisfaction and security. Because Paul could rejoice that his sin and his guilt was gone and that heaven was secure, because that chapter tells us in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The judgment, the condemnation is gone. And Paul knew that God was with him and that God was for him in Romans 8, 31, 32. If God is for us, who can be against us? And Paul trusted in the one relationship that would never fail. Those words at the end of Romans 8. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. A chapter like that sums it up. It's why it's so precious to many of us. Whatever you're going through, you have all you need if you have Christ Jesus as your Lord, as your love, as your Savior. But before I close, I need to keep this in balance. Because to be content in Jesus isn't to just blindly accept everything, like saying, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Actually, there are some things that Christians should be discontent over. Paul was discontent with the disunity, with the division in the church, with the false teachers. Paul was discontent with the continuing sin in his life. We should be discontent with the continuing sin in our lives. Or the lack of personal holiness, the devotion to God. We should be discontent with the injustice and the poverty in the world. We should be discontent with the amount of lost people around us. The areas of the world that don't know Jesus. We should be discontent in these areas. In Acts 17, verse 16, Paul says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. He saw that the true God was being substituted for lifeless, lesser things, idols. And the late John Stott, who preached so faithfully in England for decades, he said this: evangelism only begins when we have a healthy dissatisfaction with what is. The irony is, these are the very things that we become complacent about. And the very areas where we ought to be content are the very things that we spend our days being discontent about. We should be discontent when what's on the line are people's souls and heaven. We need to recover Paul's heart. Part of what led Paul to action was his great distress for the lost, but it was Paul's great contentment in Jesus that got him through it all. He acted in obedience. He says, I can do all things. He's acting in obedience to reach the lost. But he was only able to do so much for God, because he knew it wasn't his strength. It was the strength of Jesus himself that carried him, that secured him. In the middle of all of life's uncertainty, things come and go. Attention comes and goes. Pleasure come and go. Jesus is our certainty. He is our rock. He is our anchor. If you have him, and if you would have him, he will never let you go. And in that, in him, we can be content because of Jesus and his strength. Have you learned this for yourself? Tonight, do you need to learn it again? Or do you need to learn it maybe for the first time? Amen. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Let us join our hearts and pray. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that whatever our situation, whatever our circumstances, we have everything we need. We can do all this. We can be hungry. We can give up things. We can live for you through and in Jesus, who gives us strength. Lord, give us that strength tonight. And Lord, give us the discipline to rely on that strength every day, because it is not easy. Help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us to turn and run to you and find refuge under your wings every single day, in the good and in the bad. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.